Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hello there, Mr. Grant.
Hi, Mark. It's good to be in studio with you again.
Good to see you once again. Hey, this week, talking about something that we don't want to think about.
Yeah, that's for sure.
When it comes to what you do, but that is what happens when we become disabled or incapacitated, and how do documents and legal things come into play there?
Yeah, it's a really big issue, and specifically as medical technology continues to get better, we're living longer lives. Medicine is able to do astounding things that just 20 years ago it was not able to do. The difficulty, though, is that oftentimes when we have a health incident, it doesn't bring us back to the place before the health incident. So in other words, if I'm at 100% before a health incident and I go down to 20%, but then medicine is able to save me and recuperate me, it will typically only bring me back up to 80, 70, 60%, depending on what, you know, how catastrophic that health incident was, how difficult it was for me to go through it, my age. I mean, there's so many mitigating factors, but typically what we see is that a health incident creates a reduced quality of life. And in that reduced quality of life is the time when we're going to need some sort of assistance. We need someone to typically come alongside of us and begin to help us through the rest of our lives, help us through time periods, not just of recovery, but sometimes from that point forward. And one of the difficulties is, what does it mean when I am unable to then understand and comprehend in the same manner as I used to? So oftentimes the health incident will have an unfortunate effect upon memory issues or just that ability to take care of ourselves.
Or just to communicate.
Absolutely.
And
so, so it could be a physical issue or it could be a mental issue. And oftentimes we're looking at the whole person, trying to assess the whole person, and when do they need assistance? And so really what we're talking about in this series is, when do I need help? And you're right. It's something we don't like to talk about because we are programmed to be self-sufficient. We're programmed to do it on our own. And it's almost unfortunate that we have this philosophy in the human experience that says, if I need help, it must be because of a weakness there's a social enigma around that I need assistance. And as individuals age, they hold on with a greater veracity of that independence, of that desire to say, I know I'm aging, but I don't want to give up what little freedoms I have. I mean, think of some of the freedoms that we do give up. So one of the more difficult ones that we have that we have to cross oftentimes with parents or is whether or not to take the car keys away.
Right.
And that is one of the tall tale signs of independence and freedom is that now I'm stuck at home. Now I am solely dependent on other people to go and do my daily activities. Financial independence, making decisions over what, how I invest, decisions of whether I buy things or not buy things, just the ability sometimes to let somebody in on your bank accounts, your financial accounts. These are huge decisions, and that's really what we need to begin to discuss more and more, because as we age, it is the most common thing that we need to have somebody alongside of us for that journey. And the longer we push against receiving that help, the more harm that we can actually produce around us, and therefore the more harm to ourselves that we give.
What do you mean by having someone alongside you? Do you mean an official caregiver, a family member, or are you talking about legal representation, an attorney alongside you? I mean, what do you mean? Some of the proper documents alongside you, or
all of the above. Okay. And it could mean, and it's a situational issue, correct?
Right.
Really what I mean by someone alongside of you is whatever the circumstance is, that we are prepared for that and we've made pre-decisions on how that is going to be executed and who is going to be next to you for that journey. Mm. So let's take the most simplistic thing that we think about in estate planning, a financial power of attorney. That means in standard language, almost any power of attorney that has been created says if a doctor or sometimes two doctors make a determination that I am unable to manage my financial affairs, then I am deemed to be incompetent. And then it goes on to say, if this is true, this person then is allowed access to all of my finances.
Okay.
So in that simplistic illustration, and by the way, I'm not actually supporting that that language be used. I'm communicating what is the most common language. Mm. That then that person who is going to come and have access, that's the person alongside of me for that specific issue. It could be a health issue, right? Could be that I'm in a medical emergency and I'm unable to communicate to doctors. Doctors do their own type of test. We'll get into these types of things. And they make a determination that I cannot appreciate the situation that I am in and that I'm able to adequately communicate to them. So then my healthcare power of attorney should kick in. Mm-hmm. For a health incident, that's the person who's going to walk alongside me. So I use that as a very, very broad terminology to say someone needs to help me and I can't do it myself. I don't know what the it is, but there's something that has eroded in my life that I need someone to help me. And let's not be fooled. I am not speaking to just individuals in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and 90s. Mm. I'm 52. And if I'm in a car accident today and I land in an emergency, I better have my documents prepared.
Right.
And so I can tell you story after story, and I'm sure listeners can fill in the gap of people that they've known that that in their 30s, in their 40s, in their 50s, health incidences occur, and that individual is really never the same. They're never really the same person. And so this is not just something that is age dependent. And so a lot of our discussion is going to feel like it's age dependent because that's where we get into most of our health issues is the longer we live, the more health issues that we typically will face. And so yes, there is something about the timeline of life that says if I'm in a precarious incident, I need assistance. It typically is related to someone who is older, but I don't want to limit the discussion to that. Everyone who is over the age of 18, why over the age of 18? Because 18 in Washington is when you become a legal adult. Anyone over the age of 18 needs to do estate planning. You need to have a will. You need to have a trust. You need to have a financial power of attorney, a medical power of attorney, access to HIPAA laws, right, for medical documents, and then an end-of-life document, okay? So all of these documents are necessary because what we're doing is we are saying, if something happens to me at any age, at any stage of my life, these are the people that I trust, and these are the individuals that I want to have authority and power to step in alongside of me and make the decisions when I'm unable to.
Mm-hmm. Is this then the person that when you, for instance, go into the doctor, it says, in case of emergency call, is that a kind of a default person that they would call in case you were incapacitated or hurt, or
I think
more for a younger person who maybe you know, maybe isn't married, so the obvious person you first think of is the spouse, but if you have no spouse.
Or parents, or right? Parents, and yeah. if they're healthy and alive, right? Mm-hmm. So my daughters are 22 and 23, mm-hmm. and so they still lean upon my wife and I mm-hmm. to make these types of decisions mm-hmm. in emergency situations. But the problem is that they are legal adults. And so the question then for my girls is, do they have proper financial, medical, and end-of-life documents? Because, again, they could make a driving error, or someone could make a driving error, and they could be the unfortunate recipient of that, and they could land in the hospital. Me running in, proclaiming I'm the father, that is not what it used to be. Mm. See, I think...
What do you mean it's not what it used to
yeah,
be?
Yeah, so in 20, 30, 40 years ago, if I had a wedding ring... and I walked into a hospital, I could have the ear and attention of a doctor, or if it was my child, even though they were over the age of 18, and they would just assume that the spouse has legal authority. Mm. That is no longer the case. Mm. If you are going to go against doctor orders, so here's the thing. Let's say that my wife knows that Paul Grant does not want a specific procedure. I don't know what it is, but just whatever that may or may not be. And I am in some sort of an accident, and the doctors say we should do that specific thing to help Paul. And my wife goes, no, I know Paul would not want that. So now the next question that a doctor is going to say, well, show me that you have legal authority to counteract, or that I can safely follow your direction and feel safe that Paul's attorneys are not going to come after me after I don't do this. Mm. And so, unfortunately, attorneys screw everything up in the society. So, and unfortunately, in the medical world,
Very litigious, to
no fault of doctors as individuals, they want to do what is in people's best interest, and they actually want to do well. But because we are in that environment of everybody sues everybody at a
drop of
a hat.
Nobody just assumes that they need to do the right thing. They have to kind of stand back and, okay, well, who's going to give me the power to do this?
And so
much more so than it used to be.
That's right. And so because society has allowed this to go on, because the courts have allowed this to go on, because Washington state legislators have allowed this to go on, and the law then has a pocket for suing, then doctors are more aware, and they're more concerned of what's the result if I don't act in the best interest, or what's the result if I don't follow my medical creed to ensure the safety of this person. And so, again, to no fault of their own, they need that protection to say, fine, Paul's wife, Mariana, we see you're the wife, but we have to feel safe that Paul's not going to wake up from this thing and sue us for not doing what was in his best interest.
Right.
And so, therefore, where's my document? And so, oftentimes we get confused because you walk in, a doctor says, hey, we need to do A, B, and C, and a spouse is going, yes, great, go ahead and do A, B, and C, and there's absolutely no conflict. And so it appears that the spouse has authority. But as soon as something says, no, don't do it, now we're at a place to where the documents need to start coming out. So even at an earlier age, it's amazing that when my girls were even 12 years old, that doctors would not allow us to see their medical records. Mm. And so society is even going, you know, in complete opposition, which is, well, I have to ask your daughter if it's okay. What are you talking about? She's 12 years old.
Wow.
And so, so there's all of these puzzle pieces that we need good estate planning. And that's why anyone who's over the age of 18 must have estate planning. You need to have financial, medical, mental, haven't even gotten into mental issues nowadays of extreme depression. Teenagers are taking their life at just a heartbreaking rate with suicide and have mental and anxiety issues like never before, it appears. And so all of these things then rely upon us having proper foundational estate planning documents for anyone who is over the age of 18. So that is our starting point. We need to have these powers of attorney.
Powers of attorney, as it has to do with disability and incapacity in our lives at any age. You need estate planning, and that is what Paul Grant specializes in. If you need help and would like to get a hold of Paul, Paul, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, we have a website set up to communicate with us. We have educational programs, and past podcasts are there as well. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. That's legacyandfaith.com, and there's hopefully a lot of information and ways to communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, an interesting discussion this week. What do we do when we become disabled or incapacitated? What are some different forms of incapacity? As Paul is talking about a very sobering subject this week on the Legacy and Faith Show.
What? This doesn't make you happy?
Oh, boy. Gives me concern.
Right. It's not a fun topic because I think that, again, it's that power and control, and that's actually just a reflection of our Creator, right? I mean, we were created to reflect His nature, and that nature is to be in control. It's a part of who we are, and that's really what we're pushing against when we have this conversation, which is, number one, I like control. As a matter of fact, every single client of mine will admit that they like control. Power and control. I want to make decisions over my finances. So as a listener, do you want to make decisions over your finances? Do you want someone else to come in and tell you, hey, we're not going to invest your 401k or your IRA like this. We're going to now make an investment like this, and you don't get to say anything about it. Nobody wants to be in that position. And so it is a very difficult topic. And the difficulty is that because it is an uncomfortable emotional thing to think about, many people just simply have their feet stuck in sand and just won't move with it. It's like they've fallen into a pit of quicksand and I'm just here. And someday, if I sink all the way over, my family's going to be there to rescue me. Well, we haven't even gotten to those issues. We won't be able to get to them today. Mm. That'll be for a later show as we continue this topic for a series. But I don't want you to be in that situation. I want you to have a voice today in deciding who is going to assist you. And then what does that assistance look like? That's as important as deciding the person is, do you want them to invest in a certain way? Do you want them to have the power and authority to utilize your money for other family members and or for grandchildren, or just whatever the scenario may or may not be? Or if you're in a health incident, is it a time when it's kind of all hands on deck and focus only on me? So there's so many decisions around this topic of power and control in a financial document, in a financial power of attorney or a medical power of attorney, that it actually takes almost a full counseling session, which would be 2 hours in my system, of talking about this alone, of what do we do to protect you as an individual to make sure that the decisions we're making today are setting up that you will be safe and secure and your finances will be used in a way that you want them to be used to ensure that that you are going to have sufficient money and that the right people are empowered. So this is a big deal. Maybe you can hear a little bit of how my voice just increased there a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I got a little more passionate because this really is a bigger deal than you just simply dying. I can handle a probate if you didn't do estate planning, and I can get money to the right people. That is far easier than it is to take care of somebody who has a diminished capacity or is fully mentally incapacitated. Mm-hmm. That is extremely difficult.
They might live for another 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's right. We talk about different memory issues. Mm-hmm. We talk about Alzheimer's, such a scary word. Well, if it's so scary, then why are we not planning for it is my call to action today. Mm-hmm. So we need to get this. And by the way, we need to get it done right. And so even if you have a document, the document may be short depending on where you got it and who did it and their focus on this issue. If you did not spend a very reasonable amount of time with an attorney discussing these issues, your document may not be as full as we need it if we actually enter into this point of life. So anyway, so contact us if you want us to do a review or if you don't have these, please reach out to us. It's too critical for your own personal safety to just leave it to the sweet by and by, and I hope my family does right by me. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Let's have a discussion and really plan this out. So all of that with a question that I haven't even answered yet, Mark. So how's that for a long-winded discussion?
Okay, well, this is a big subject, and it's very important, and we avoid this.
We do, unfortunately.
Probably more so than the will, and like you say, it's so much easier to wrap things up once somebody's passed. But what do you do if somebody is incapacitated? Tell us some different forms of incapacitation, maybe some that people hadn't even thought of.
So one of the things that we need to look at when we talk through what does it mean for someone to need help is what's the circumstance? And the unfortunate part is that all of these different circumstances will have a different definition of what it means to be incapacitated. Mm. So there is not one fluid definition of incapacitated, incapacitation, incapacity that kind of rules the day in law. Mm. For every circumstance known to mankind. And as a matter of fact, if you have any experience in this area to where you are taking care of a loved one, whether it's a spouse, whether it is a parent, maybe you're in the health industry, you know that there's good days and bad days. And that sometimes, unless they really have had memory issues for a longer period of time, and it's quite severe, there is a fluidness to this decision-making process that is very, very difficult because one day it's really hard, and then the next day everyone seems to be back to normal as if nothing ever happened. Mm. So it's a very difficult question, which is what type of incapacities? Well, let's look at a couple. Number one, do you have capacity to make medical decisions? Well, that's going to be more of a full person review. There's specific tests that doctors use in looking at whether or not someone has capacity. And so some of the more common tests, one is called the mini mental status examination. And what that does is it lists different questions and it rates your question or your answer with a specific point value on whether you got it right or not. And at the end of the day, there is a point total that a nurse or a medical professional, a doctor, nurse practitioner, just someone would be who's asking this would then rate you and make a determination of whether or not you have medical capacity. There's also one called the MacArthur Competency Assessment Tool for Treatment. If that's not a mouthful, that's a deeper one. So there's medical decisions. Now there's contract competency. So in other words, can you appreciate and understand the nature and consequence of the contract that you are signing? So think of maybe a lease for a car or a contract for services or other things. That would be more closer to the standard of whether or not that contract could be upheld, but that's a different competency than what the medical field is determining of whether or not you could communicate with them for medical decisions. Hmm. There's a different competency for standing trial. That's completely different.
You hear that
different.
A lot. Some of these law shows you see on TV.
That's right. And so that's completely different. There's a competency for estate planning. And then there's a competency to make a determination of whether you need a guardianship. So what we're going to do is we're running out of time with this show, but we're going to come back to these. We're going to unpack these different areas. And we're going to continue this discussion of disability and incapacitation. It's too important. So head over to my website. Go to legacyandfaith.com. Communicate with us. There's a click here button for communication. Shoot us an email. Let us know how we can help you. Let me know how I'm influencing you with this show, please. I need feedback. There's past podcasts. So head over to legacyandfaith.com. A bunch of information. Would love to help you in any way that you need assistance.
Okay, another fine edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.